Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Oh, we are off and running. Some might call it an AARP Tuesday. Some might call it Senior Citizens Lunch. But we just call it Gridiron Tuesday around here because we're the bosses and we get to make the final say, the final statement.
I think you overrate the some may say.
You're right.
Some
you're
is
right.
Such a small number.
It is.
If
like
a
one?
Person, you say some, and they have a social media following under 3,000, mm-hmm. That's not some to
and
me.
His name was like Longfellow Tibwad or something.
Does he have a committee that helps him at all hours of the night?
I'm not certain.
Yeah.
If their reference is Will, I just don't think they move real fast. And if they literally could have died in the studio here mm-hmm. Sunday because of an overreaction.
You were just telling me this story.
I thought he could have died. He's screaming. I go, it wasn't even a game-changing move or position. And a man that's over 300 pounds should never get that excited without a physician in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we have medical equipment here. Do we have?
We have like a medical. We have like a medical lockbox. That's about it. But I don't know if it's got like.
I'm serious. I don't know where it's located.
Yeah, I don't think we have like shock things or whatever it's called.
I mean, you got Denton there, and I figure that he probably needs CPR trained.
So you think D-Day could have done mouth-to-mouth resuscitation?
Did you see how he
reacted? Worst case scenario
when Terry caught.
I mean, I've seen the video. I if it's the video that I think you're talking about.
I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I've he doesn't like when we talk about him.
Who gives a rat's
So we'll try and be nice and only mention him every now and then. But Doc, first of all, good afternoon. Number
one,
happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Number two,
well, happy Thanksgiving to the entire country.
Yes. And before we get into it, you're just, coming back from Northwest Stadium where you participated. Do they still call it Harvest Feast? Is that what they still call it? Or
you know,
I don't even know.
If I were in a journalistic environment, you would think that I would be prepared.
I usually get an email about it, but I did not see anything about it this year.
No, Caroline hooks a brother up.
Okay.
All the time.
But you were at Northwest Stadium with the team, with fellow alumni.
Yeah, Mark Hynt.
Right.
Who always is above board with enthusiasm and a guy who's, I just like his presence. Great vibes all the time.
Sure.
Mark Clark Hynt, Construction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Capital Food Area Bank. It was... I'm inspired by the fact that that many people give. Smoot emceed brilliantly, as always, because he just makes you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts you in a good spirit. And so that's always makes me feel good to see how many people give up. The Federal Credit Unions, as always, Pepsi, Bank America, all the people that usually do this, Campbell's, United, Foundation, Eastern Motor Automotive, over and over and over. You've been there many years.
Sure.
You've heard it. It's the team does a magnificent job.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the volunteers. Tailgate Ted had like a brace around him. He's pulling in hydraulics with lifts and all these millions of pounds
of turkey.
Turkey. Not turkey. Yeah. No, they have turkey, but it's the canned goods.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The potatoes and onions and everything. When you get a sack, these sacks that are put together, and there's thousands of bags that will be distributed throughout the area, and they're loaded. So I've been different over the years. You have different roles. Today I was a bagger, but in the past I've been. You might be in one area where you just loading apples, or you're loading onions or potatoes, and that's your deal. And you're rolling like an assembly line. And a lot of the legends are there, and guys lined up, and they gave guys these great, your number, the past number of jerseys. So it's a real spirited action and contribution of people. They started Monday. They'll be there today. Some guys put in 4, 5, 6, 8 hours worth of volunteer work or more. And the places they did in the Legends area, that area now is really –
the Legends Plaza.
The plaza is a godsend because it's so expanded.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we were inside in that wind tunnel. You've been in there a lot. When it gets cold or cool, not fun. So they said Monday when the rain came in, they had to move all those bags inside. And it just worked out well. We're in a good mood, even though it's a rotten atmosphere because you can't hide the stink of Sunday's performance.
Nope.
And the aftermath of people are in somewhat shock still remaining that they're just in disbelief because they can't believe anybody can beat you in the NFL. But you couldn't have been set up with offensive line, just Hall of Famer not playing, starter not playing, no way. Dak out, this guy out. What? And then you can't. Win?
Yeah.
A game? At
still
home?
Won. Yep.
And then the NBA was pissed off. It's in the moment I walked in the stadium and what the hell are they doing wearing those white jerseys? Who let them in white? Again, I know some people will say, what does that mean? Well, for my era, it was a taboo because they hate wearing white. They hate wearing that blue. Mm. We never let them in white.
Mm.
People are going to say, do you really think that matters? Does to me because that's what we grew up. We never let it happen. And the first thing hit my mind, the moment I walked in the stadium, I go, well, who the hell let that happen? That's just what I felt. That's what I felt. And I thought, it don't matter. Hell, they could wear polka dot. We're going to kick they behind, and then I'll be damned. So that's what, in my mind, they say superstitions. These little things are so weird and so crazy, but you cannot convince me any other way because that's what I was raised upon.
Right.
We never would let it happen, ever.
Well,
because
you've been a
they
part
don't
of this.
Like it.
You've been a part of this thing for a long time.
Well, it's 40 years, and I go, they don't like wearing that dark.
Yeah.
That's why we always put them in it. And they go, do you really think that makes a difference? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's funny that you mention that because I'm, like, trying in my mind, like, oh, yeah, wait.
No, we're always in white.
What colors were,
We don't do that.
You know,
it don't happen. But again, Maybe it means nothing to you out there listening.
Yeah.
But to me.
But to you, it means
something. First thing I saw, I go, wait a minute, hold it. Did they not get the memo? We don't let those clowns get in white because they hate wearing that blue.
Mm-hmm.
They don't wear it unless they're forced to wear it. That's why we always force them to wear it.
Mm. All right, that's the DOC. Back from Northwest Stadium, doing some good charity work with the Commanders and the Commanders Charitable Foundation, obviously for Thanksgiving, distributing tons and tons of meals to families that need it and quite honestly can now enjoy a Thanksgiving dinner and hopefully much more. I will say this, even when Dan Snyder was, you know, in charge of the organization. Yeah. The organization did a great, 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 great job every year at this time of the year, Tuesday, generally right before Thanksgiving, because the idea is to provide, obviously, again, the turkey, the mashed or the potatoes, the stuffing, the canned goods and whatever, so that they can have at least one and, again, probably more good Thanksgiving meals. So great job out of you guys and everyone.
For a family of four, they save thousands. And even the best part, which I couldn't do today because Essek, I didn't want to piss him off by not being here, but was when we used
to go. He's a very angry guy.
Oh,
sometimes.
He is. He's got a temper, too.
He says he hasn't slept since Sunday morning. Temper.
But when you make the drops to the community centers and actually make the drop-offs and meet the people at the community, that's the best moments when people are there and you get to actually meet them. That, to me, is the priceless moments that you get to share in here. And even though win, lose, or draw, even when we sucked, it was the best moment because the product on the field was awful.
Right.
So this was a way you could
go reach back out and touch the people, and make an impact. And,
so you know, hopefully whatnot. they'll bounce back. And again, but anyway, that's enough about Washington. The Jets and the Giants.
I knew this was coming.
Eventually.
He's like, soon as he said enough about Washington.
Enough about Washington.
I knew exactly where Doc was going.
Hey, man, WFAN, baby.
That's so great. We will get to the Jets, Jets.
Come on, everybody wants to know.
We will get to the Jets.
Is Aaron Rodgers coming to be back?
I mean, we'll discuss.
I love the fact that Rex is saying,
I'm going to spice it up a little bit to you when we talk New York sports a little bit later on. About Juan Soto, okay? You remind me because we will get it done. But
I don't think I'll have to remind you.
We're not going to push aside Washington for just now. We wanted to open up, obviously, with a great thing that the Commanders organization and Doc and all of his alumni brotherhood are doing because, again, win, lose, or draw, playoffs or not. You know, if you can use the power of the NFL and of this brand, I hesitate to use the word brand, but I guess they are a brand. The power of this organization and what it represents to so many people. It's obviously a great thing when they do something like this, and they do great things throughout the year. I want to be careful. This is not just the only time that they do it, but when you guys can get all together and help so many needy families. That is awesome.
No,
and that's the spirit.
Tim Hightower is in charge of all of alumni affairs.
Tim is great.
His plate is full.
Yeah.
And he's got to be bouncing off the walls, coordinating all this. The good news is that he never has a shortage of legends. People want to help.
Yep.
People want to come out and do whatever it takes. Yep. And to me,
well,
that's what matters.
You're amongst that group, always there to lend a helping hand. So kudos to you guys before we really get into the meat of the show. And if any of those alumni legends or whatever are driving around listening to this, we appreciate you guys. And you know, again, all the sponsors, the team, all the people with the team behind the scenes that don't necessarily get the credit and they're not looking for credit, but all of those people that work so hard, not only, again, in the time building up to this particular event, but all year round.
Cheerleaders, dance squad.
But especially those that give so unselfishly to families and people that need it, Doc. And again, it's more than just this. So we want to send kudos to you guys. Thank you in advance of Thanksgiving, because not everybody, you know, as everybody probably knows, not everybody does have an opportunity to have a great meal at Thanksgiving, or to have family, or to have friends, or somewhere to go, or a warm home, or a fireplace, or cable TV, or whatever. So thank you. Wanted to start with this. You mentioned, obviously, the Cowboys game. We know it's three losses in a row. A lot of
and
people...
And a Hail Mary win. Always throw that in, too.
Exactly. Now, they did also have a win against the Giants, which I don't consider it was that it was a convincing win, but it was a good performance.
Take the W.
Exactly. So, clearly, they have been struggling. We all know that, right? Just the three losses in a row, whatever you want to say about the competition, two really good teams in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and then one horrible-ass team in the Dallas Cowboys, who came in motivated and wanted to prove that they had not quit and rolled over and were playing dead. And that they did. That being said, there's a lot of people running around town, some with microphones, some with busy fingers, some just on social media, some that, quite honestly, pay a lot of money to go to Northwest Stadium to cheer on the team. And then there's those rotten bastard Cowboy fans who infiltrate the...
Who were under good behavior. Look, I'll tell you what.
No, they were, for the
most
part.
They were...
Outside of that one brawl that I've seen some video of.
Really?
I'm just teasing. I was more doing
shtick. Cowboy Clay?
Yeah.
He, man, just... I feel so good for him. Derek Davis, Raj, the guys have been besieged. They've been hiding in the alleys. They're out now. His self-esteem
is restored. They're able to pump their chest a little bit.
Good for them. Yeah, yeah. I'm happy for them.
And maybe if they beat the Giants in 2 days at AT&T Stadium with all the sun coming in through the windows.
Jerry's talking
yeah,
about maybe extension.
I heard that.
Go, Jerry.
But before we get more into all of that, a lot of people are running around going, oh, it's this guy's fault. Oh, it's that guy's fault for not only Sunday's loss, but the three-game losing streak and the fact that they're now 7-5. So specific to the offense, I think we all understand that special teams was a debacle on Sunday, even though they made four good defensive special teams plays, right? But it was a debacle of epic proportions, right? I ran a poll yesterday morning. It didn't receive as many votes as I would like. But
local
it was like,
or national?
Well, it was on the old X machine, right? You know, it only received 517 votes. I'm not Grant Polson. I'm not Kevin Sheehan and the Window Nation.
But who is?
You know, fan vote of the day.
You just put yourself up against two iconic figures.
So it only received 517 votes, and I said, you know, who was the most responsible for the Commanders' loss yesterday? And I said, special teams, Dan Quinn slash coaches, Jaden Daniels, or leaky defense. And the results stood up as they stood up yesterday when we introduced the poll right around this time, that special teams was number one, 45.6%. Dan Quinn and the coaches, 43.1%. So basically, 89% of the voting population, special teams or Dan Quinn and the coaches, Jaden Daniels 5%, leaky defense 6.2%. Okay. Now that's just a small sampling size. But
you know, you could have enhanced that whole deal. All you had to do was put Lowell next to you because he's got quite a large
I should have put him as a choice.
Well, with you, maybe the two of you in there would have because he's got quite a following, and he's a brand.
Yes.
You know, maybe next time when you
think
about that.
Well, try not to shine light on the brand.
Okay.
You know, so here's the deal. So I said on the show yesterday, I mean, clearly special teams, I think in most people's eyes, number one, Austin Seibert missing the two extra points, the missed field goal, the two, you know, kickoff coverage, non-coverage, whatever, the spin-a-rooney, the everything. I mean, it was way too much in any one game. And yet, again, they made a couple of good plays, a blocked field goal, a blocked or tip punt. You know,
to me, that's a wash.
Okay. But that being said, now I want to focus on the reason for the offense and why We are at a point where we went from a meteoric offense, an offense that was turning everybody's head and going, oh, whoa, to an offense that now has guys like Dan Orlovsky saying, I'm officially worried, and doing a video piece.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Dan Orlovsky. I don't need to do any fancy television production. I don't have those assets. I told you during the game on Sunday, after the game on Sunday, I know you were doing the post-game show on Sunday, we all saw the same thing. Outside of the last five and a half minutes of that game, the offense was outside of, I should say, outside of one drive, and outside of the last five and a half minutes of the game, mm-hmm. the offense was dead, mm-hmm. was barely alive. They couldn't run. All things considered,
that's the first thing
outside of Jaden, and we'll get there. Mm-hmm. They could certainly could not throw the football, and people are pointing the finger and using all sorts of analytics and
if
stats.
If I may butt in, throwing the football is just telling half the story because he did throw it, but if you can't catch it, you got to determine. See, it's just not throwing; it's throwing and catching.
Yes.
What to cut to the chase, if they're going to play backups on their offensive line and you can't punch them in the face, you don't deserve anything but to get your ass whooped.
But now you're talking about the Commanders' defense.
But the whole thing comes to the point is that they had an all-pro and a guy who's on the verge of it not playing the game. They double-team your most heralded guy on the D-line, and what you're telling me is that
Nobody could come free.
That's the best you could do.
Well, he had the only sack.
No, I understand that. And he did get doubled a lot.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is that you just got punked.
Mm-hmm.
The evaluation on it is that there's enough sample size to say you did not make plays when you needed to.
I think the biggest thing that we can say safely is every unit, every person contributed to that loss and is partially responsible for the three-game losing streak. What we're going to ask next and what we're going to get Doc's opinion on, and I'll give you mine, is who on the offensive side only is single-handedly most responsible for the struggles. What, however you define the struggles, who on the offensive side, what unit, what group, what individual, what coach is single-handedly most responsible for the Commanders' offensive struggles, say, of the last 3 weeks, but you can go further than that. 301-230-0980, if you want to drop an X post in, it's at WrestleMania621, at Rick Doc Walker. Matt is at Mr. Underscore Me 93 in the radio station, at Team 980 on the old Twitter and X machine. Back in a flash on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us on a Tuesday in the nation's capital and beyond, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. The DOC is with us. Matty Ice on the other side of the glass, and you can join in at 301-230-0980. So, Doc, mentioned, I wanted to focus, obviously, on the offense because that is the buzz around town, that the offense is the unit letting them down. Now, in truth, the defense stunk the other day, too. In truth, the special team stunk. In truth, the coaching was not good enough by any stretch. In truth, it was truly a team operation and a team loss. But the offense was not good. I understand what happened in the last 5 minutes, and I understand that Jaden Daniels made a great play. Terry McLaurin, 86-yard touchdown, blah, 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 blah. I get it. They had a touchdown drive before that. But if I asked you to isolate one person, one unit, one group, one facet of the offense as to why we are here at 7-5, three straight games in a row where the offense has been less than inspiring, less than dominant, less than what it was, most people are going to have, I think, one answer. What is your answer to, as you sit back and think about it, if there's one group, one person, one unit that is the cause more than the other, while acquiescing that it's probably a combination of all.
And I think you know, but that's a fan question, so I would never be involved in that because it's too broad a stroke. You don't have a core sense of who you are. You don't run the ball with conviction because your back gets hurt. Once you have your thunder puncher is B-Rob. You have no real solution if he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's out.
He and gets he's hurt been out first a lot. Yeah.
So you make a move on Friday, to my knowledge, with Rodriguez, who for whatever reason, I think I like him a lot more than they do. For whatever reason. So, you're not equipped once you're plan A. You had no plan B. Then, so, your quarterback was finally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He was back. But you really don't have a core belief and philosophy in a downhill running game. So, you're more of a fan approach. You're spreading people out. You're more finesse.
Mm-hmm.
Than thunder, in my opinion. And the things that worked earlier, well, that's life in the NFL. People figure you out, now you got a counter. Your counters haven't been that great. Now you can say personnel, quarterback's hurt. That's your fault. You have a backup. I thought you did a great job in getting the kid in who had similar traits, but you never put him in the game. You had a chance to play him earlier. You opted out to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go back.
Sorry about Marcus Mariota.
Mariota. Mm-hmm. You had a chance. You decided not to.
Mm-hmm.
You put a guy out there, not 100%. We can't fix that now. Too late.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're asking me to fix that. I'm not doing that. That's your job to fix it. Get a running back or running game. I can't make you trust something that's not in your core value system. Your finesse, your mentality is to be more finesse than power.
Mm-hmm.
I can't change that.
Brian Robinson has missed three full games this year at Baltimore, Pittsburgh, at Philadelphia. He's also been knocked out of several games, i.e. last week against the Dallas Cowboys, against Carolina, I think, was the other game, and we weren't sure whether that was a re-aggravation of the injury or whether that was just being precautionary, and then there was another game as well. So basically, he's missed three full games, and he's been knocked out of at least two,
Bingo.
Maybe three. And if you just say five, right, five of the 12 games that they've played, Brian Robinson has not been able to be a factor because of health. And that And
combined,
I'm glad you answered it that way.
Combined
yes.
with your quarterback,
right.
who has not been 100% in half of those as well, your backups are far more valuable and should be counted on more than they have been.
Okay, and that's a more than fair point. We can talk about that. But to your point, mm-hmm. and that's exactly where I was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
If I sit back and I think of, and we're going to go to the trending alert, and then we're going to grab your calls. If I sit back and think of the number one reason, amongst other reasons, and it's, again, everybody contributes to a win or a loss.
Right.
The number one reason is because Brian Robinson has been so banged up that he has basically missed almost half of the games. Again, he's played in every game except for three of the 12, so he's played in nine, but he has been a non-factor because of injuries and reoccurring injuries in a couple of those games. So when you get to the math, it's basically 5 out of 12 games that Brian Robinson has not been available for. Okay, and to me, he was the number one reason why they were successful early on, and he is the number one reason or his health. And then the extension that it causes to the rest of the running game and the quarterback, and the play action, and the offense, and the play caller, that is the number one reason. What do you guys say? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your call is coming straight up right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the brothers Harbaugh going the way of John last night. And the Baltimore Ravens, they come from behind and win in Los Angeles against brother Jim. and a banged-up Chargers team who lost former Raven running back J.K. Dobbins to a knee injury. He missed the entire first half. Meanwhile, the Commanders players with the day off today. They'll get back to it on Wednesday and have a normal week despite Thanksgiving as they welcome in the Tennessee Titans this Sunday at Northwest Stadium. Of course, the DOC with us here. He'll be taking your calls, win or lose, on Sunday afternoon on your way out of Northwest Stadium. Meanwhile, Mack Brown has been fired by the University of North Carolina. Of course, this is his second tenure there. There was a report yesterday that the 73-year-old would continue. That is no longer the case. He will coach in the regular season finale against NC State. They are bowl eligible, but the program has not made a decision on whether Mack Brown will actually coach that game. And the Wizards back home tonight for an NBA Cup game, trying to break a 11-game losing streak at 2-13 overall. They host the 7-11 Chicago Bulls. Catch it right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, beginning at 6:45, and that's what's trending. All right, we're going to get right out to your calls here in a sec. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What is the number one reason in your eyes for the offensive struggles? Is it as simple as saying, well, Cliff Kingsbury is doing a terrible job? Well, Cliff Kingsbury has a long history of his teams trailing off in Arizona and other places, and all the analytics amigos are putting out all their numbers, and I've got a bunch of them, and people have sent me a bunch of them, and some of that is fair. Some of that is true. Is it Jaden Daniels and the fact that he wasn't really healthy totally until maybe we think this week, right? When clearly he was more of a run threat than he had been. Is it the offensive line, which clearly is not as good as it was earlier in the year? Is it Terry McLaurin and the wide receivers, drops, non-catches, not getting separation, so on and so forth? A lot of things at hand here. What do you say? Let me give you a couple of quick numbers. Ian Hartitz, who's like some fantasy dude or whatever that I follow, he put this up about Cliff Kingsbury at iHeartitz on the old X machine. In September, points per game, Cliff Kingsbury in the NFL only. So this is as Arizona head coach, play caller, as Washington offensive coordinator. 25.7 points per game in September. 377.1 yards per game. In October, it goes up a tick. 27.2 points per game, 379.1 yards per game. So again, both slightly up. In November, it goes down to 23.4, and the yardage per game takes a somewhat precipitous drop to 336.8. And in December and January, the point total goes from a high of 27.2 points per game in October to 20.2 points per game, a touchdown exactly difference in December and January versus, say, October, and the yardage total goes to 329.3. So clearly the numbers are concerning, alarming. But as usual, there's no context to the analytics amigos. As usual, there's zero context. I can scoop up a bunch of numbers and put them in a column or put them in a post and say, it's all Cliff Kingsbury's fault. But is there no nuance? Is there no acknowledgement that Kyler Murray was an immature baby and didn't work hard and didn't study and didn't play well in the second half of seasons because he was too busy playing video games? Is there no acknowledgement that DeAndre Hopkins was busy getting suspended, getting injured, that others were dealing with, again, injuries and drop-off in performances, what have you? Or is it just, hey, you're the offensive coordinator, you're the head coach, you're the play caller, you're supposed to figure this out? And that's unfortunately where we're at, I think, with a lot of fans, is the most or least common denominator is Cliff Kingsbury, and that's the guy that you can go ready, aim, fire. Cliff stinks in November, December, and January. I'm going to blame it on Cliff. Instead, Doc, and I don't want to speak exactly for you, but certainly sounds like you feel, and I certainly feel, the lack of health for Brian Robinson, the lack of ability to count on, to put hang your hat on a great running game, which they had the first, largely the first eight games or so, nine games or so of the season, is probably the number one reason among many, the number one reason why they have struggled. So, we ask you at 301-230-0980, what do you think? Let's get out to it on the phones and say hello to D.C. in Calvert County on the Team 980. What's up, D.C.? How are you?
All is well, Rooster. How are you, man?
Good, D.C. What's going on?
That's good. Doc, how are you today?
I'm getting through it.
Oh, wait. I got to turn on Doc's
microphone. Getting through
Sorry.
It.
My bad.
And he tried to cut you off, Doc.
No, he didn't.
I forgot to hit the button.
I'm in listening mode.
Uh-huh. I forgot to hit the button.
Okay.
Yeah. Doc's omnipresent.
I'm in listening mode.
Yeah. Go ahead, DC.
Doc is everywhere. But, yeah, I agree with you, Russell. Like, the O-line health, running back health, inconsistency with catching the ball on the offense. And of course, Jaden, he didn't look himself for a couple of games, but I can really account that to the defenses we played because he was still making plays. He just wasn't making as many plays. So I think it all comes down with totality to the coaching. We have to – this is the first year of this regime dealing with injuries, dealing with a new quarterback. So when a person is hurt and not injured, should we let them play or should we not? I know they talk to the players and get their thoughts on it, but you may have to sit him one game so he can get healthy and get that extra time to rest. And, like, the same thing with the O-line. Wiley came and played last week. Maybe he should have sat out another week. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that I think they're getting a feel for on the fly. And even with Brian Robinson, they sat him out as long as they thought and then – I don't know what the injury was this week, but it was something different.
It was his ankle as opposed to his hamstring. And that's the problem. And, DC, appreciate the phone call. That's the problem here, too. Doc, it's not like he mentioned Wiley. Wiley was dealing with the shoulder.
Right.
But Sunday's injury was concussion-related.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, it's not like they're just running these guys back in and they're re-injuring the same thing. As a matter of fact, you could argue that they've been extra, extra, extra cautious in terms of injuries, holding Brian Robinson out of not only the Giants game, but also the Pittsburgh game the week after that, and then bringing him back for the Philadelphia game, which was a short week for everyone else, but not really a short week for him. But you could also make an argument, hey, man, we traded a lot to get Marshawn Lattimore. We ain't running him out here just because Emmanuel Forbes can't get his ass in gear. We need Marshawn Lattimore, but we can't put him out there in a compromised physical position. So I don't think this staff or this medical staff is really guilty of, I guess, miscalculating, at least right now, health situations. At least I don't feel that way.
I don't think so at all.
All right. Good start. Let's get to Anthony in D.C. next up. Anthony on the Team 980. How are you?
I'm good. If you'll indulge me for a second.
Shoot.
Meathead, I mean, Chris, I'm going to give you your due on the Ovechkin thing. We both know that normally they don't tell you that he has a broken leg. Mm-hmm. It's just a regular lower body injury.
Yeah, but I was so right, wasn't I?
You were correct.
Yeah.
You were correct.
This meathead is right a lot.
I'm giving you your due.
Mm-hmm.
So bask in your glory.
Thank you. That means a lot to me, Anthony.
Woo!
as far as your question goes, have any of you ever seen the movie Jackie Brown?
Yep. I have not.
Okay.
Doc, you said you have?
This includes De Niro, Samuel L. Jackson, a few other people. So there's a quote in there from Samuel L. Jackson, and don't worry about bleeping, I'll bleep myself.
Mm-hmm.
they're watching the TV, a commercial comes on for AK-47, shows all the destruction and so on. Samuel Jackson says to the effect of AK-47, when you absolutely positively have to kill every bleep bleep in the room, except no substitute. So how does that equate to the team? Doc, what is the difference between a game wrecker and a game disruptor, in your opinion?
A wrecker knocks somebody out. A disruptor kind of like it's flustered the situation. It confuses it. It doesn't eliminate them. It just confuses it.
Affects the situation, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So similar to what you just said, I believe a game, when you absolutely positively have to have it done, a game wrecker will either come through with the
Kid
play
11
itself.
For Dallas, he's a wrecker.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So we are playing with disruptors. We don't have game wreckers.
Right.
Anthony, I'm going to give you kudos because that's essentially what I said yesterday, and you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. They don't have the guy yet.
Right, yeah.
Frankie Louvu has shown a lot of signs.
Outstanding. Yeah,
they don't have the guy. Jaden Daniels, obviously, Terry McLaurin. They don't have the guy yet
Lawrence
that
Taylor,
can consistently
Reggie White.
Not alter or affect a game,
mm-hmm.
essentially end a game.
Kid in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Kid
yes.
in Cleveland.
Yes.
There's difference
yeah,
makers.
No
so
doubt.
We had to do it like a lot of people have said it. I got to give Little credit as well. The Cowboys used to do it. We all out blitz. You got to send everybody. And a lot of people, not a lot, some people have mentioned this. We knew they were shorthanded on their offensive line. We never flooded it. It's not like we never went all out
mm-hmm.
to kill the kid mm-hmm. with a backup quarterback. We treated it like Roger Staubach
yeah,
was playing.
Yeah, they essentially played like a conservative type of defensive
exactly.
operation.
I never saw us just go all out.
Right. Now, I can't kill Joe Witt for that because I said on Friday, I said, you know, play conservative. You don't have to empty the kitchen sink because you should be able to stop them.
Well,
and they did stop them at times. They forced field goals. They
really
missed.
Good
what
job.
Have you. They fell apart at times.
You didn't think that their backup offensive linemen
yep.
would be able to survive yeah. against us.
Now, in reality, the defense only allowed 20 points, but still, 20 points to that offensive operation?
You could lose a game 3-0.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that matters is that you didn't do enough to win.
That's fair.
Either way you look at it,
the
way I look at it, we didn't do enough to win, period. And there's no excuse for it because they threw out backups against your starters.
Yeah.
You're either overpaying a lot of people or you're just not good enough yet.
Yeah.
You got to live with one of the two.
I think you're not good enough yet. You don't have that assassin, that closeout assassin.
Your offensive strategy needs to be at least reevaluated
mm-hmm.
because your scheme was not good enough. It didn't pay off. Or the people you're putting out there, drops happen. But the fact that you can't put your foot on somebody's neck, you just don't have the right stuff.
Well,
and that's on you.
I want to give you some numbers
okay.
on that. And in that regard, as we go back to the offense when we return in just a couple of moments, some numbers that'll infuriate you, I'm sure. 301-230-0980 plus more of your calls. We see you all lined up. Just be patient. We'll get to you. The DOC is in the house making a house call on a Tuesday afternoon in the nation's capital and beyond. We're live all throughout the DMV on the Team 980 and always live and free on the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Odyssey app. All right, the DOC is with us, 301-230-0980. We'll get to the rest of the calls here in a sec. Let me give you that number that I wanted to mention that would infuriate a lot of you. Again, this is via Ian Hartitz, iHartitz on Twitter and X. He's one of these fantasy guys, MB Fantasy Life, whatever the hell that is. He hosts a podcast, whatever. I follow him for information. That's all I do. I don't take anything that he says seriously, but I'm just passing it along. Commanders' targets over the last 4 weeks from a receiving perspective, not wide receivers, from a receiving perspective over the last 4 weeks. So that's Dallas, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Giants. Okay. Noah Brown leads the Commanders in registered targets over the last 4 weeks at 27 targets. Zach Ertz is second at 24. Start noticing a trend here. Austin Eckler is third at 18. And fourth on the list, as he puts it, is bleeping, although he does not bleep it out, bleeping Terry McLaurin in big capital letters at 17. So, Doc, if I told you that Terry McLaurin has 10 less targets over the last four games than Noah Brown, you would say what?
That Terry was being doubled. And that's just not
Wait,
the case.
So you mean there's a reason why certain guys don't get targets?
Well, usually that's why. The opponent takes them out of the plan.
Could it be that the quarterback makes a different decision than maybe what the emphasis of the play or the original design of the play is?
Could be. And sometimes that guy taking coverage away is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Because it should.
Yeah, if we can beat you on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
But if the people on the backside don't get open or drop the ball.
Which you mentioned a couple of times, right?
I can go to Home Depot.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be funny. And get me some guys that can make. We are. And that's why they have practice squads we should have here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blown away. If we get people that repeatedly don't do the little things right,
mm-hmm.
and they stay in the lineup, that troubles me.
So in that case, are you talking about specifically Noah Brown?
Anybody that fits the description of not doing the little things
mm-hmm.
over and over correctly, mm-hmm. I'm going, why is I not seeing movement in the roster? That troubles me. But then again, I'm not there. I don't watch him work. I need somebody who's an insider
mm-hmm.
would be able to answer that. And that's why I always turn to Mr. Finley. And I would go, you tell me. It's not that difficult for a receiver to be requested to catch the ball.
Yes.
That's what he's supposed to do for a living.
Yes.
And if he can't do it, I got to have somebody. That's like when we have the corners that, see, everybody said, well, the corner can't cover. You don't know what the coverage is. You don't know what he's being asked to do.
No, absolutely.
So that I never play that game.
Which is why a lot of people take umbrage with like the PFF grading system. I have a question about Noah Brown specifically, mm-hmm. receivers in general.
Yeah.
Especially being that you were a tight end in this league and you know, again. So I'm going to ask it to you on the other side, mm-hmm. and then we're going to get back to the calls. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Matt, I'll have that question for the DOC when we return, so don't let me forget.
Where is Little at? Is Little in line?
Little is online.
Okay, good.
Little's always online.
Just checking.
There we go. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.